Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big, get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
What's up, guys? So my name is Armand Kaledi, and I currently own Fear or Faith Co., which is a streetwear brand that I started about six, seven months ago.
Awesome. And you're based in Austin, right?
Yes. Just moved here about 2.5 weeks ago from Dallas.
Cool. So can you just tell me more about Fear or Faith, like what exactly like the brand is all about and just how you got the idea for it?
Yeah. So we're going to kind of, I'll start with the meaning behind it and then I'll kind of go back to where I got the idea. So the meaning behind it is overcoming obstacles and using any, you know, setbacks, negativity in life and using it as fuel to achieve greatness. Fear and faith are two different things that we all battle with internally every single day. So just trying to spread positive awareness out there and trying to create a positive message. The way that it came to be, trying to think of it to make it as short as possible. But ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to do some kind of streetwear brand. I've always been that friend that was into the fashion trends, clothing brands, things like that. And that's something I always wanted to do. But, you know, with life and things that happen, you know, we have to go to college, have to get a 9-to-5, things are just never, it's never the right time. And, you know, I have my own sets of fears and insecurities that I go through, right? So one day last year, I went through a breakup and, you know, I just thought, I need to start doing things that are going to fulfill me, that are going to make me happy. And, you know, I need to put a positive message out into the world and help other people that are going through hard times as well. And now's the time to do so. You know, I've always wanted to do this clothing brand. So what better time than to do it now? So started last year and I had the message. I noticed that a lot of streetwear brands, if you do notice, have, I don't want to say that it's a negative, you know, negative imagery or any kind of negative message, but it's a lot of like sex, drugs, you know, party lifestyle. There's nothing really positive or a great message behind a lot of these brands. And that's something that I wanted to change within our brand was, you know, I want to make something fashionable, but I want to build a community of people that believe in one another and, you know, uplift one another and just have a positive message to always uplift. So I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I just didn't have the name for it. And I was at church one Sunday and the sermon was about having faith within God's plans or fearing his plans and kind of going on your own path. And, you know, this isn't religious by any means. And if people take it that way, I mean, I'm happy that they take it in a positive light. But I was like, wow, you know what? That is something that everybody deals with every day is fear and faith. So I was like, that's a perfect name for it. We're going to go with Fear of Faith. And that's kind of how it came to be.
Awesome. So in terms of like how you've gotten traction for your brand, like have you done ads? Have you done like meetups or like what has been your strategy so far to like get the word out about your brand?
Yeah. So that's a great question. The meetups and things like that, that's actually why I moved down to Austin to kind of build a community around that a little bit better. But so far what we've done is we've tested everything online. So we've done ambassador programs, we've done giveaways, paid ads, of course, on Meta and Instagram and mainly paid marketing. And then, of course, giving away some free gear, things like that to ambassadors to kind of help us out, you know, reach out to their audience too. So mainly been online, paid, unpaid. And then there are some plans to do meetups, different community groups, different networking events, and even, you know, different markets, such as you see those like swap meet markets or those streetwear markets, little different things. But that's kind of the next phase and where we're at right now is trying to plan out the in-person type of marketing.
For sure. So when you find like ambassadors or people like that to represent your brand, like who is an ideal person? Like who do you think is like an ideal customer that's going to really resonate or who has resonated with your brand so far?
So that the beautiful thing about Fear of Faith is there isn't really an ideal customer. You know, it's kind of like one size fits all. But if there was one ideal customer, an ambassador is just anybody that is open about their struggles and isn't scared to share that with the world and use that as a message to uplift others and to motivate others. That's really the ideal person that we're targeting and that we want to carry our name. You know, someone that's not too high and mighty to say, hey, I've never struggled a day in my life. You know, as long as you own up to the struggles and use that as a positive light and as a positive message, that I think is the perfect person to carry out our brand.
For sure. So in terms of like your strategy, right, for 2024, even beyond that, obviously, like you mentioned, building your community here in Austin, but are you thinking about getting into retail or really just doubling down on e-commerce? Like, what are you really focused on to scale even more?
Yeah. So right now, our main focus is going to be e-commerce because that's something that we're able to control and that we're currently working on. With being an entrepreneur, there's so much going on that you want to tackle everything, but I'm trying to focus on one thing at a time, especially since, you know, we're such a small team, you know, because you can get caught up with being like, okay, I want to do retail. I want to do this. I want to do that. And you end up spreading yourself too thin. And that's what I'm trying to make sure that I don't do. So e-commerce is one thing that we're mainly going to focus on, as well as brand building. And, you know, we've gotten reached out about retail opportunities. There is one that we are strongly considering right now that, you know, I'm still doing my research, still having to go back and forth and see if it makes sense to us, you know, financially, demographic wise, et cetera. You know, there's a lot that goes into the retail aspect of presenting any kind of product or any kind of service, right? And I think that's what a lot of people don't really understand, especially newer entrepreneurs and things like that. But e-commerce is going to be the big push this year, brand awareness and, you know, retail opportunity. We may have one, we may have two, but we're not going to close that off. We're just going to kind of scale slowly on that aspect.
For sure. So in terms of e-com, like how do you keep your customers engaged? Like do you do like drops or I guess like what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So to keep them engaged, I will admit it is a little bit tricky to figure out how to keep them engaged in between drops, right? Because whenever we do drops, that's when we see that marketing spike and that attention really go up. So we're trying to test out different things right now. We're kind of in that trial and error phase, but spacing out our drops methodically and every so often is where we try to keep them engaged, and then doing little things around those drops such as giveaways or little contests and things like that to really engage and make it a little bit more fun for everybody. That's where we really see high engagement.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's like, especially with any streetwear brand, like drops are so critical. Yeah. And I've seen brands like where it's like really like their whole business is just drops. Like if they just drop products, sell out, drop a new product. Like it's really like a very interesting business.
No, it really is. I think that's what makes it fun is that you're kind of shaping up. I think of the drops as like a big event, like a big reveal, right? And I think that's what makes it so fun is, okay, how are we going to make this one a little bit different than the last? What worked for us last time? What can we change this time? And you kind of just tailor it as you go and try to figure it out. Like I can't say all of my drops were successful,
right?
To be quite honest with you, right? But that's not a bad thing. I think they're all learning lessons, and that's for the sure. Beauty of the drops.
Yeah, I mean, especially where you're at now being so early, like you really have to like, you know, just test these things and see kind of like what works, what doesn't, what products resonate with your customers, right? And I think that those things are so important. So I guess like speaking of those things and being so early, like what are some of your biggest challenges that you currently face in the business?
Ooh. Business-wise, there's a lot of mental stuff that you definitely deal with every day. And I'm not going to lie about that either. The mental aspect of it is one of the biggest struggles that you deal with every single day. Because the beginning of it, and I was telling one of my friends the other day, I was like, every day you wake up and you get your ass kicked, right?
Right.
Like, you know, not everything is, there's some wins, don't get me wrong, but not everything is sunshine and rainbows. Business-wise, the biggest struggle I would say is brand building more than anything, because it's easy to have your friends and your family to support you and things like that, but extending outside of that. So trying to sell and trying to build the brand outside of the people that know you and know what it already is. I think that's one of the biggest struggles. The other struggle would be trying to figure out, like you mentioned earlier, is what resonates with your audience in terms of clothing, products, et cetera. It's all a test at the very beginning. And then of course, money allocation. Everything costs money and it is not cheap to run a business, especially being a sole proprietor. it's tough. It definitely is. So, you know, financials are a big thing. You know, product testing is another thing. Overall, it's just, you know, it's tough, but it is very fulfilling, I will say.
For sure. What about like in terms of even like sourcing materials and like building out your products and manufacturing? So I think that many people do struggle with finding a good partner. So what did that process look like for you?
So funny enough, I just started going, that's last night I stayed up trying to find a manufacturer for something that I'm currently trying to release, which more details for that to come, because it's not your typical t-shirt, hat. It's something different, which I wanted to give, you know, test out. But luckily for me at the very beginning, before I went into this, I had already done the research as to who I wanted my manufacturing partner. I had bought a t-shirt from another streetwear company. I was like, wow, like I love the way that this feels. I love the way that this washes. Okay. They're obviously not going to just have their manufacturer like out on their page. How do I go about finding this? And I swear that I sat on Instagram and just went through like everything that they have done. And I tried finding like their manufacturer and I somehow found it. And since the very beginning, they've been, you know, since the first release or even the first trial of things, they have been amazing in terms of customer service, the materials, pricing has been great. So, you know, I came in knowing who my manufacturer was, but
That's awesome. Of
course they don't do specific things. You know, they do X, Y, Z, but once you start going into these different garments, which I can't really explain what.
Right.
About, but once you go into different garments, they don't do everything. There's not one person that does every single thing. So, you know, now I'm kind of going back and trying to research who can do these other different things. Some of the, you know, things outside of t-shirts, hats, you know, the norm, right? So in that aspect, in order to research, I reach out to my resources that I do have. And, you know, I'm not afraid to go up to other competitors and ask, because I don't see anybody as a competitor. I think that's a very scarcity way, a very scarce way of thinking. I think that's terrible.
100%.
So I use the resources that I have. Hey, man, I really like the way that you did this. Who do you use? And I'll reach out to them. And also, luckily, I've had people reach out to me as well, wanting me to work with them. And I've tested out their products before, too. So it's a little bit of a little bit of research, using your resources, and even just utilizing the people that do reach out to you as well.
For sure. So obviously nowadays, many companies use technology like AI in their business. So do you guys currently use AI? And if not, like, where do you think they could come in and add more value?
No, I am one of those people that I'm still not on the AI train per se. I read so much about it taking a lot of resources and a lot of jobs away from us humans. I don't really want to support that. I know that it's the way of the world. Things are changing. And I think it's a great tool, but I'm going to continue to utilize, you know, my friends, my family, and that I consider like you, for example, and consumer and like the consumers of Fear of Faith, I consider them family. So I'm going to continue using, you know, the people around me until anymore.
Yeah. I think AI is good, but it can also like remove some of that like authenticity. It's like, you know, when you're talking to like a robot, it's like, it's very different than when you're talking to a person. So.
Exactly. And I don't want to take that authenticity away. I also don't want to take any food off of anyone's plate either.
For sure.
I can support you or I can support anyone, I'm going to continue to do so. I don't need a robot or artificial intelligence to help me out when I have someone that has feelings, emotions, creativity right in front of me.
For sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you got started with this business?
That's a good question. Because I've gotten all the advice that I would like to know even ahead of time. You know, I have some friends that are entrepreneurs and have gone through all of this before. So they told me, hey, you know, it's going to be fulfilling, but it's not going to be easy. It's not sunshine and rainbows. So don't expect a win every day. But as long as you're putting in that work, you know, everything else will follow. So
right.
I don't know if there's anything that I wish I could have known, but I think that's the message I would want to share with others is, you know, it's not going to be easy by any means, but as long as you do believe in yourself, you put in that work day in, day out, everything will come to fruition. Everything will work itself out and it won't come when you want it to. It'll come when it's supposed to happen. And when
for
that
sure.
work has compiled.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's kind of like the whole definition of like of your brand, right? Like a whole fear of faith mindset. So speaking of fear of faith, like if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
We're only going to skyrocket. I mean, for being open for only 6-7 months, we have exceeded our expectations. I mean, even our marketing team was like, we haven't, we didn't think you were even going to sell this much, even within the first year. So if we have this conversation, we will talk again.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd say will. I don't like, I'm trying
yeah,
to.
We'll, like, yeah, will. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
When we do have.
Probably sooner than that. Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things I had to try to go through when I started this business is erasing hope, if, and I just try to say will.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Yeah, for but sure.
When we do talk again in about a year, I see the brand, you know, reaching, you know, way more followers, way more people, already establishing a great foundation to our message, a great foundation to the community that we're building, and some amazing products that we haven't done just yet. I'm excited to show everybody kind of the versatility that we have. And even then, within a year, you know, we're also going to have a few shows under our belt. We actually have one coming up at the end of the year, going back to the kind of in-person marketing. But, you know, we're going to have a few, you know, a few shows under our belt. Our community is going to be way bigger. And we're already going to have that train rolling with, you know, positivity and a great message for everybody.
That's awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact?
Yeah. So best ways to get in contact is, you know, go through social media. So Fear of Faith. Let me double check that I didn't miss anything. So it's Fear of Faith Co. on Instagram. And then our website is www.fearoffaithco.com. And then I also have my personal Armand Kaledi 56, which I'm trying to ramp up as well to kind of make it more of like a behind the brand type of thing, get to know the, you know, the person behind everything. But those are the three places that you can reach out to us. I'm pretty, you know, I'm on my phone all the time. So I am pretty quick to respond. If I don't respond, I'll get to it whenever I can. But I like to be as transparent and as open as possible. That's one thing that I won't let go of. I don't want to let go of, for example, like my messaging, when my marketing company comes in and they're like, hey, can we respond to people? I'm like, no. That's a beautiful part of this whole thing is like the personal touch. I want to make sure I'm always, you know, talking to everybody, you know, reaching everybody and just touching everybody, you know, metaphorically speaking, in a positive light, right? So that's the best way to reach me. I'll always be there responding, unless it's spam. When it's spam, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna delete it at this point.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, Armand, thank you so much for your time, and we're rooting for you. But yeah, definitely, let's keep in touch, and good luck, you know, with the rest of the year and your drops coming up.
Thank you so much, Dan. Good luck to you as well. Thank you for having me on, and we'll definitely stay in contact, man.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Awesome.
All right, bye.
Bye. Um,